You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Okay, guys, I don't know where you are today, but where I am today, it is beautiful, sunny, and just over 80 degrees. It's also a world filled with allergens, and Sudafed is my best friend today. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, the allergy-stricken Career Callings. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or you can reach out to me by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I don't care if I'm allergy-induced or not, Sudafed-stricken or not, I am excited about today's program because I have a wonderful guest today, and his name is Darren Shearer. Darren is the founder and CEO of Highbridge Books, which offers professional book publishing and author consulting services for inspiring thought leaders. Darren is himself the author of three books, including Marketing Like Jesus, 25 Strategies to Change the World, and The Marketplace Christian, a practical guide to using your spiritual gifts in business. Darren also is a podcast host himself and lead blogger for Theology of Business, a training organization that helps marketplace leaders to partner with God in business to transform the marketplace and make an impact for eternity. Darren, you are exactly who I want to be when I grow up, sir. Welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show. How are you today?
Outstanding, Robbie. Thank you for having me. And it is also a beautiful day out here in Houston, and we don't get too many of these kind of mild, kind of almost on the borderline cool days out here. So we're enjoying it while it lasts.
I hear you, man. Do you have any kind of allergy issues in the Houston, Texas area?
Fortunately, I do not personally, but we certainly have insects. And so we got orb weavers, spiders all over the place, and wasps and all those little guys. So we're trying to fight the good fight out here.
Well, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, although I love the Southeast, I do in the spring and in the fall have fun with all different kinds of allergens, but I promise not to sniffle too much during our interview, sir. Well, let's get started with you. I just gave a brief introduction there about who you are, but if you don't mind, take a minute or two to tell us a little bit more about yourself and kind of how the Lord has led you to where you are in your career right now.
Yeah, so I've got a beautiful wife named Marie and two boys. Actually, the oldest, Solomon, is 2.5. The youngest, Armand, is about to turn 1 in just about a week. And so I get to work from home, which is a real joy, just being able to be with the family. And what I get to do at home is I have a book publishing company called Highbridge Books that you mentioned. And kind of what led me into business, I was in seminary preparing to go into business. And I explained this to a gentleman when I went to go and speak at this Rotary Club event. And so he's thinking, okay, business, you're in seminary preparing to go into business. That must mean you're going to become a televangelist. And so I basically said, no, I'm studying practical theology. And he said, I didn't know theology was practical. And that was a discovery that I had made, that theology actually is practical. When I was leaving the Air Force Base, when I was serving at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana from 2004 to 2008. And up until that time, I kind of had this mindset that, you know, ministry, the Christian life, like that's the kind of thing that you kind of live out primarily in like a ministry, quote unquote, type setting, like in a church or doing some type of nonprofit activity. But As I was leaving the base this one particular day, the Lord said, this Air Force base is your ministry. And that really began a paradigm shift that ultimately led me into starting a book publishing company several years later.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, as you try to get from where you started to where you are now, I'm sure there have been some ups and some downs in your career. And if you don't mind, kind of tell me about your worst career failure. Tell me about your worst career failure.
Yeah. So, you know, after I had that conversation with a gentleman and I was explaining to him that, no, I'm not going to become a televangelist, but I am studying theology and business. I'm going to start a business. In business school, there's these days, at least up in New York City where I was studying, there was kind of a lot of pressure to start sort of a technology type startup, or, you know, you want to become the next Facebook or the next Google or something like that. And I just don't have that technical. I mean, I couldn't code. I can do some HTML, that kind of thing now. I certainly couldn't do any of it at the time, but it was just all very overwhelming. It was just a lot of pressure to kind of do it sort of the conventional sort of way. And so the idea of a publishing company was, there just wasn't a lot of fanfare about that. So I ended up working on starting a tech startup in the fitness arena. And it was a pretty good idea. Basically, it was going to be sort of the one-stop shop for purchasing fitness services online, where you wouldn't just be a member at one place, but you could have one membership and get access to a variety of fitness clubs and services and things like that. And I was doing pitching, and I was a finalist in a pitch contest, and things were going pretty well with that. And, you know, the thing when you talk to investors is you have to have a prototype. Well, I didn't know how to code, but I needed a prototype. I needed a technical co-founder. So I basically paid this guy $5,000, to make a long story short, to build or to license something that he had built for a similar type of company in a different industry. I paid him the $5,000. Ultimately, after about 6 months of waiting for him to deliver, he couldn't deliver on his promises, and I was out $5,000. And basically that whole idea kind of crashed and burned. And certainly I could have gone to court and all that kind of stuff, but I just ended up deciding to forgive the guy, because in the midst of that, you know, not only did God help me to forgive him, but he really did a career change of path for me. And as I started to, as I realized that this guy wasn't going to be able to do it, he wasn't going to be able to build a site, I said, you know what, let me see if I can do some coding. Let me see if I can start to put up a website. And that began, one of the first websites I put up was a site for my book publishing company that I do now. And so, you know, I can talk a little bit about how I kind of got there, but that was really a kind of crash and burn experience where I lost a lot of money for me at the time, but just decided to forgive the guy. And really, in return, the Lord gave me a new vision for my life.
What would you say is the number one lesson you'd want people to gather from that story? I have one in the back of my mind, but I don't want to taint what might be in your mind. So what would be your number one lesson you'd want people to get from that?
Yeah, I think, you know, when something like that happens, it certainly, it doesn't always mean you just need to totally give up on that particular idea, but it definitely should mean that you need to go back to the Lord and find out your next marching orders. And it could be that you need to, you know, and there were a lot of mistakes that I had made by selecting this particular person to build a website and a lot of things that I should have and could have done better if in retrospect, but of course hindsight's 20/20. But you need to go back to the Lord and find out, is it time to pivot or is it time to just, you know, double down and go forward with this, but with a clear understanding of who is the right person that I need to be partnering with. And yeah, you know, you could make the argument, well, Jesus had Judas on his team. You know, what kind of decision was that? And there's a lot of kind of factors that can play into it in people's minds. But for me, the Lord gave me just a new vision for my life. And he took that experience and basically said, if you'll just kind of let this thing go, I'll give you something even better.
That's great. And two things came to my mind as you're talking about that. Number one, of course, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 8:28.
Yeah.
God can work everything for his good and his glory, his glory and your good, our good. That's number one. Number two, and I don't have this particular verse committed to memory in terms of the reference, but I think you'll recognize it. Most people will. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And that's I think, out of Proverbs or Psalms. And if I had more time, I'd be able to dig it up and tell you which verse it was. But, you know, it would have been so easy if you had run into that stumbling block and lost that $5,000 to just give up.
Yeah.
And go do something else that would have been less troublesome and less challenging. But the Lord endued you with the strength to be able to keep on and take the next pivot step that you needed for his glory. And kudos to you for that. So
yeah.
How about the other side of that coin? Let's not leave it on the negative side. What would be your biggest career success?
Yeah, well, I think it really kind of the same story, you know, because in the midst of that, I began to take a deep, hard look at who God had really made me to be, because as I said before, I had given into a lot of the peer pressure that if you're going to start a business, you're really going to be an entrepreneur and build something that really matters. And it needs to be the kind of thing where you need millions of dollars in venture capital to start up and all that kind of stuff. You know, who cares about little small businesses? And so it was that kind of stinking thinking that had led me down that path, I think, in the first place. But taking a look at my experiences and as you said, Romans 8:28, that God will use all things together. And he used in undergrad, I was an English major. You know, people would always ask me, what are you going to do with that English degree? And I would basically tell them, I don't know the exact job that I'm going to have, but I would say to them, what am I not going to do with this English degree? You know, I mean, writing and communicating and all of those kinds of things. And then, you know, kind of fast forward, I ended up publishing my first book back in 2010. So about 6 years ago. So I had some experience with publishing already and I enjoyed marketing. In seminary, I was asked to become the lead writing coach at our academic writing center there, Regent University, and ultimately started to teach the academic writing course there. And so I was teaching academic writing to graduate students. And so the Lord was giving me all of these kind of unique experiences. And so even though I had, despite all of that, kind of gone down this path of trying to start something in the fitness industry, that although I exercise and like working out, you know, being starting a business in the fitness industry just was not something I was passionate about. But communicating ideas and kind of changing the world that way certainly is. And so that was the big aha moment for me, was look how God has wired me and the experiences and expertise that he has empowered me with to be able to help authors that I work with every day now.
You know, I often talk with people about how to discover their career calling, and I tell them it's really a two-step process. Number one, find out what your gift is, that thing you do extraordinarily well with the least amount of effort, and then find out where that intersects with the burden that God has given you. What's that thing that he wants you to solve for other people? It sounds like to me that's what you did with what you're doing now.
Yeah.
That gift and that burden intersected, and lo and behold, you are where you are today. So amen. Amen to that. And with that, we'll head off into the break. Come back in just a few moments with more wisdom from Darren Shearer. I opened the digital doors of CareerCallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world, my place in this world.
Welcome back from the break for segment number two of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E. @careercallings.net. And back to more questions and answers with Darren Shearer, founder of High Bridge Books. Darren, tell us about how you are using your career right now to impact others for Christ.
Well, something hit me mainly back when I was in seminary, and that was kind of the reality of this great commission that Jesus gave to us, which is to make disciples of all nations. And so making disciples, it's not even to go into all the world and make a profit or go into all the world and even build churches. Ultimately, it's about making disciples of individuals and then of entire nations. And certainly that's not just the responsibility of my pastor, but that's my responsibility in my business. And so the that's the way that I go about my business, is how is what I'm doing making disciples? Because that's ultimately the bottom line for every Christian. And so when I work with authors, I really view it as discipleship and helping them to learn how to craft their message, how to communicate their message. And I'm not discipling them in areas that maybe somebody else is more gifted, because, again, that's why we have the body of Christ, because all of us have we have different gifts, and nobody's a super Christian. And so the way that I do it, you know, through things like gifts of administration, gifts of teaching, and then I help the ultimately discipleship comes down to imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so there are ways in which my life looks like Jesus, and certainly needs to get more accurate of a reflection of who Jesus is in many ways. But there are some where I reflect him more clearly than others. And that's what I really seek to do through my business, is to make disciples.
Now, Darren, a lot of our listeners are either small business people or they want to be. So let me ask you this question. What would be the three things you would tell a small business owner or someone who wants to be? What three things would you tell them they need to do in order to be successful as a small business?
Sure. So these, you know, I guess there's different stages, certainly. You know, you got your startup small business entrepreneur, and then folks that have been at it for a little while. But I guess these really apply across the board. The first thing I would say is to make it easy for people to taste what you're offering. And so it's really not enough to just have a website where people can come and maybe read a few things about you, but you really have to kind of draw them in. And for my company, one of the ways that we do that is through having a three-part course. So people who are interested in book publishing, they can come on and sign up for this three-video course, and their presentations that are delivered by yours truly, and each one is about 25 minutes long, but it gives them the opportunity to kind of learn about me, learn about the company, learn how we serve authors, kind of the whole school of thought when it comes to thought leadership. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you can really do with pretty much any company, is just make it, to where they can sign up on your email list. It just amazes me how many organizations, businesses, churches don't make it easy for people to sign up on an email list and really give a compelling reason for people to want to sign up for the email list. And then the second thing I would say is to identify the top two or three, what you might call vital signs, that you need to keep track of in your company to kind of gauge the health of your organization throughout the year. You know, and these would be there. You know, there's just so many different analytics. There's so many different things that you look at in terms of website traffic, and then like a million different metrics, even within gauging the what's happening when people come to your website, how they got there, what do they do, how long do they stay there, all of that. But I would say just really probably two or three things that really can help you keep track. So in my case, I measure how many proposals that I send out to prospective authors, and then how many on a given month, how many new clients, how many new authors are coming into my company. And that ratio is really the main thing that I track. And then the third thing, and this is, I guess, more kind of on a spiritual kind of mission level, is to answer the question as a small business owner. And we often don't think about this term in a business context, but that's the question of how does my business make disciples of Jesus? Because ultimately, our calling as small business owners is not to make a profit, although that can play into it. But the bottom line for every small business is, how does your business carry out the Great Commission, which is to make disciples? And so it's all about helping people to see what Jesus looks like, and setting the example, not only on a personal level, but to where as the owner of a company, you have an opportunity to set the culture, to set the brand, all of those things, to where when people would look at your company, that they would see Jesus, that they would see the character of Jesus himself. And so ask, you know, we talk about mission statements and everything, but really I think our mission statement should be in line with that Great Commission. And certainly the way you would present that in a lost world might not have all the Christianese language in it, but really wrestle with that question. How does my business make disciples of Jesus?
That's fantastic advice. How about reading material? If you could recommend just one book other than the Bible for our listeners, because you know, we know the Bible is the number one book we need to be engrossed in every day. But outside of that, what's the one book that you would recommend to our listeners and why?
Yeah, I would recommend this book. And it's not just because it was published by my company, Highbridge Books. But Dr. Jim Harris has been a good friend of mine. And really a mentor, and has written a book called Our Unfair Advantage, Unleashing the Power of the Holy Spirit in Your Business. And basically what he has shown us is that working with God in the marketplace, in the workplace, is not just about applying a set of timeless principles or being people of integrity. It is all of those things. But we have no integrity without an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. And, you know, the only God on the planet today is the Holy Spirit. And so we have to have the Holy Spirit at work and in control, and really the one that's giving us our marching orders throughout the day in our businesses, in our lives. And so it's just filled with practical examples of what that looks like, and really challenges some of the other ways, because if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, you're being led by other things, whether it be money, whether it be tradition, whether it be fear. And so, you know, when you begin every day, you really just have to refresh and make sure that you're being led by the Holy Spirit going into that day, rather than being led by something else that will ultimately lead you astray.
That's a very, very needed message. Well, I have been blessed, Darren, by our conversation today, and I know a lot of other folks have been as well. So there may be some folks who want to reach out to you and maybe follow up with some other questions. So what's the best way people can connect with you?
If they're interested in book publishing, go to highbridgebooks.com and sign up for a free author training course. There's 3 videos in that series. And then reach out to me. You can contact me at Darren@highbridgebooks.com or contact me through the contact page at the website to let me know where you are in the publishing process or in the writing process. And then if you're just interested in the theology of business and partnering with God in your business, go to theologyofbusiness.com. Sign up for the blog and the podcast as well.
Darren Shearer, thank you so much for joining us on the Career Callings radio program today, and you have a blessed day, sir.
Thanks, Robbie. It was fun. Appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir, and that's a wrap on another edition of Career Callings. And as always, you can go to careercallings.net/radio to get a podcast version of today's broadcast. And since we did not have enough time to put everything from our conversation into the on-air version of Career Callings, you can go to careercallings.net/radio, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker Radio, or TuneIn Radio, and hear everything that Darren and I talked about on today's program. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless. To learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. weaknesses and strengths. You know, one of the things that helps people understand which direction they ought to go in or ought not to go in when it comes to a career is their strengths and weaknesses. So let's start on the negative side. What would you say is your biggest weakness in the workplace?
Yeah, I would say, and typically our biggest weaknesses in the workplace are going to be our biggest weaknesses in the home as well. And I think my wife would probably agree with this one, that one of my biggest weaknesses is empathy. And it's a growth area for me. And so just being able to really hear people out and, you know, when they're struggling with something or they're disappointed with something, just to really begin to feel, because I'm a fix-it guy. And I think a lot of guys are kind of like that. And sometimes, you know, people, they don't necessarily need to just kind of swoop in and fix things. And it's really not all that empowering anyway for people. But to be able to take a step back and really feel what other people are feeling is something that I'm really working on.
I hear you. How about your biggest strength?
I think one of my biggest strengths is creating order out of chaos, AKA administration. That's you know, and interestingly, that's a spiritual gift that the Apostle Paul mentions. And this is probably another topic, but it's a way that I've seen that, you know, the Lord has given spiritual gifts to the body of Christ, and that those aren't just to be used inside a church building, but that they're to be used out in our workplaces to reveal who Jesus is as extensions and members of the body of Christ. And so my ability to help authors, because when they come to me with their manuscripts, a lot of times they're in pretty bad shape, or they just need a lot of work, or they're just really overwhelmed about all of the moving parts of the publishing process. And it comes fairly intuitively for me to be able to create order out of all of that.
Would you mind coming to my house and create order out of the chaos I have here?
Possibly.
I think I was just a little bit too vulnerable with that statement, but it's out there now. So now everybody knows that we don't keep a very good house at the Romeiser household. But that's my fault. I blame me. Now, I want to kind of drill down a little bit more about the services you offer, because, you know, there's probably going to be some people that are listening to this program that feel like they have a book inside of them. And they may not know how to go about doing it or putting it out on paper or getting it out to the world. So answer for me a couple questions. Number one, what do you look for in someone that you would like to work with in bringing a book to the world where they can help disciple people as well? So what do you look for in someone you would like to work with? And number two, how would you help them do that and take that message to the world?
Yeah. Good question. And C.S. Lewis said that we don't necessarily need more Christian books. We need more books written by Christians. And so, Robbie, that's really the philosophy of Highbridge Books, is that we're not necessarily looking for Christian living books and devotionals, although we do publish quite a few of those. But we're looking for books that even non-believers would pick up, and that they would, in somewhat of a kind of backdoor way, that they would come in contact with a Christian worldview that would reveal Jesus. And that's, I think, the way that discipleship works, is it's not necessarily like it's a gradual process. And it certainly was with Jesus and his disciples. You know, certainly there was a moment early on when they would have to drop their nets and go follow him, but they weren't all in at that point. I mean, there was a period of learning and watching Jesus just to make sure that this is legit, that I really want what he has. And so I think that's the approach that we use. And so in terms of how we do that at Highbridge Books, whether you have a book on leadership or business or family issues or education, these are all topics that we're looking to publish and to really promote that Christian worldview. And literally we'll help you through every step of the process. From, you know, I have authors that will come to me where, you know, literally I will interview them, and that will form the content of the book on those transcripts. And then we'll refine it from there all the way up until getting it into that professionally published format as a paperback, as an ebook. And, but most of the time it's authors that have a finished or near finished manuscript that approach me that are ready for publishing, get the book edited, and can crank it out pretty quickly. And releasing probably about seven or eight books in the last week of November of this year. And so, you know, if you do have a book that you're interested in publishing, reach out to me at highbridgebooks.com, you know, Darren@highbridgebooks.com. You can email me there as well.
Now, I also want to learn a little bit more about your podcast, because that goes back to the effort that you desire to undertake to disciple people. So tell us a little bit more about your podcast.
Yeah. So, you know, what I do with my podcast is kind of a microcosm of what I'm doing through Highbridge Books. And so my particular platform on a personal level happens to be in this area of the Christian faith's intersection with business. And so I have a podcast called The Theology of Business and a blog there, and have written some books on this topic, because The Theology of Business was not a course that I got to take in seminary. In fact, it wasn't even offered. And yet 85% of the Christian workforce works in a for-profit company. That's where they spend about 60 to 70% of their waking hours every week. And so this podcast has been heard in over 90 countries, and I just get to, you know, go and do some speaking and that kind of thing, and helping Christians to make this connection and really partner with God in their business, you know, where it's not just about applying timeless principles, but where there's an actual relationship with a personal God that wants to be involved in the inner workings of your life and your business.
And I'm assuming if somebody wants to check out your podcast, they can either get to it through your website or through something like iTunes or some other podcasting platform.
Yeah, the best place to go is theologyofbusiness.com and sign up for the email list, and you'll get some other resources that will come to you through that subscription as well. And you can link to the podcast there, the blog, and of course it's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google as well.
Awesome. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if the answer is yes, tell us a little bit about it and tell us how you reacted to it.
Yeah, I think I would go back to the time when I was serving in the Air Force. And during that season, I kind of had this complex where I felt like there just weren't that many Christians around. And, you know, and we know as workplace Christians that oftentimes Christians aren't as overt about what they believe out in the workplace, you know, when they leave church on Sunday morning. And so that was kind of where I was, but I kind of took that to mean that there just weren't Christians around, or that they just didn't want to serve God or something like that. And during that season of my life, right about the time, you know, I was driving over those railroad tracks, and God spoke to me and said, "This Air Force base is your ministry." The Lord revealed to me from the book of Acts when Paul went into Corinth, and he kind of had the same mindset that he felt like there just weren't. In fact, he tells the Lord, he's like, "There's nobody here. There's no people that are God fearing. That there's nobody that loves you here, God." And the Lord said, "Don't fear, for I have many in this place." And that was exactly what the Lord said to me during that season in the Air Force, is that He has many in this place. And that really began from that moment. My attitude changed, and I began a workplace kind of once a week Bible study. And so Christians from across the base would come to that. And I just began to rediscover more and more relationships with other believers there in the workplace. And so if anybody is feeling like that about their workplace, I would challenge you on that. And I would challenge you to just ask God, why don't you just show me who these believers are. And that way you can begin to encourage each other and be the church out in the workplace.
So you didn't have a challenge that was like someone confronting you. It was more of, am I alone and do I even want to express who I am? And the Lord kind of prompted you to do that. And suddenly you found out you were not alone.
Yeah, well, I was going to express myself either way, but, you know, I was kind of doing it as sort of like, you know, it's like that Elijah complex. He's like, you know, Lord, there's no prophets that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And so he kind of had that Lone Ranger complex. And that was kind of the attitude that I had. And I think it's just a lot of pride, really, is what it was. And the Lord just cast that down, and it just opened up such rich relationships with other believers in my workplace.
What was the biggest lesson you learned from that?
It's to open your eyes and really get God's perspective on your workplace. And that applies to so many aspects of honoring the Lord in our work. Is sometimes we don't think that God even has a perspective about what we're going through in our work, because there's such that secular divide that we have set up in our minds. And it's just not there, because God is there and God is very interested. And God certainly is interested, because he's the one that said two are better than one. You know, and that if one falls down and he doesn't have somebody to lift him up, you know, woe to him. And so this is a God of relationship, and that he has strong relationships, because we're a body. It's the body of Christ, and that's how he's designed it to operate. And you know, there are plenty of other Christians out in your workplace to encourage you.
Yeah.
And if they're not, God will send you some.
There you go. That'll preach. Has there been a time in your life when God directed you down a career path that you just did not want to go down? Or maybe it didn't make any sense to you? Anything like that ever happened to you?
Yeah, I think initially it was kind of going back to my original story about discovering my calling to start this publishing company, because it was so unconventional for me, because the whole way I had been trained in business school was, you know, either you're going to go to Wall Street and do finance and make a bunch of money there, or you're going to go pitch venture capitalists. And if you're not getting, you know, $500,000 startup investment, then your business probably just isn't really worth anything. So you need to go back to the drawing board. And so the idea of bootstrapping a company, which is exactly what I did, into now the company that provides for my family has been doubling year over year ever since then. But it started with, you know, I had to buy a couple of ISBN numbers for my author's books for a couple $100s. But aside from that, there was no other money that went into the company. And so not only it was basically shifting from kind of that venture capitalist approach to a bootstrapping approach that was much more in line with how God had wired me. But that took some time to really kind of for Lord to grow my faith, that he had already deposited in me everything that I needed to make that happen.
That's a great lesson to learn, isn't it?
Yes.
What is the number one personal habit you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I think because our career is so intertwined with our family, you know, my favorite habit is that my family and I, we pray together every night. And my, you know, so it's my wife and I, and then our two boys, and of course, you know, they're crawling around and running around, and they're not always realizing what's going on, certainly. But they're just getting saturated in the presence of God, you know, when we enter into those times as a family and just pray over each other and pray over the things that are going on in our lives. And we pray for our family's company, and just, you know, pray over needs in our family and beyond. And it's just such a powerful time of bonding with each other and bonding with the Lord that it just gives me such strength in my career in particular.
Amen to putting first things first, pal. Kudos to you. What is the number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is understanding and going to the Lord about his direction for the business. I would say in terms of probably something very specific as well, there's, you know, when I know what the Lord wants me to do, I have a Google Doc that I maintain, and I've always maintained something like this throughout my professional life, something where I will document the things that I need to be working on, and I'll revisit that multiple times a day just to kind of see where I am in relation to the goals and objectives that I've set. And so I think the number one habit, I mean, rarely do I accomplish anything that wasn't first on that list, that wasn't first an item on that list. And so that, you know, I'll revisit it. I'll see, you know what, this is really isn't in line with what I need to be doing, and I'll just strike it off. I may need to add something, may need to change something, update status on something, but having it centrally located that I can access it on my phone, on my desktop, everywhere is very helpful. And it's really been a huge pillar to my success.
I like to do that too. And I recently discovered a little tool called Workflowy. Have you ever heard of Workflowy before?
I have not.
Yeah. It's a great little list tool. And the crux of it is that you can create all kinds of lists, but you can zoom in and look at just the list you want to look in right now by just a little double click. And then you can double click and go out back to the big list. And it helps you to stay focused on the list you need to be looking at right here and now. And you can also incorporate any kind of tagging system. And there's some pretty simple tagging systems that they recommend, so that when you get a document that's filled with hundreds, if not thousands, of to-dos, you can just search for your tags and get what you need. Like, for example, I got a tag for Monday, Tuesday, every day of the week, and I try to schedule things in that list for each day, hit the tag, and I know what I got to do on Tuesday. I know what I got to do on Wednesday, and so on and so forth. So really interesting. It has an app for the phone and the tablet and the computer. It's really, really simple and easy to use. So I check it out and see if it works.
Beautiful.
For you. How about, well, we actually kind of somewhat talked about that with that answer, but let me ask you this. How about a productivity tool? Do you have a productivity tool, whether it's internet-based or non-internet-based, that's helping you stay focused or more productive? And you know, if it's the same thing, the Google Doc, that's great. If it's something else, that's great too.
Yeah, I have several of those tools. One that I really like and has been a mainstay for me for a while now is called Rescue Time. And you can get that at rescuetime.com. I just use the free version. And basically what it is it helps you to account for how you spend your time on your electronic devices. And so because I have it installed on my desktop, on my phone, I'm able to see every week I'll get this report that will tell me how many hours, in fact, how many minutes I spent on every single program, including phone calls, and including, you know, looking at the news or something like that. But or if I'm spending too much time on email, all of that will show up, and I can adjust accordingly. So it's a great way to really kind of look at yourself in the mirror in terms of how productive are you actually. And such an important place to start is to start eliminating things that are not getting you to where you want to be.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have to check that app out for myself. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
Yeah, I would say to those high school seniors to find someone who's doing what you want to be doing and go and learn from them. And that just opens up a whole world of possibilities and also really narrows the focus for a person's educational path. And so, you know, the idea of going into college because you know what you want to do and you're going to major in something and that major is going to give you your golden ticket is just, it doesn't really hold water in the marketplace. I mean, it's especially given the amount of debt that people are going into. And, but if you can find someone who's doing what you want to be doing, that's willing to mentor you, because I mean, people like that are looking for people that are hungry, people that, that are eager to learn. And, you know, it might not be the thing, but it could be the thing that leads to the thing that God has called you to do next. But it's just such a great way to really narrow. And because professors oftentimes that are teaching many of our courses have not, frankly, done the things that you would want to be doing as a high school senior. But, you know, a lot of times you need to go find a practitioner that's out there doing it. And those people are more than eager to be able to share some of the things that they've learned.